Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to chapter 14, Revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 14. Now, last week we finished up Revelation 13. We had such a vivid description of such a horrible time, that a time that is upon us. The Antichrist will come forth, and that false prophet, his cohort. We need to understand these things. And this spirit of Antichrist is here. It is. There's a falling away, and it's falling away fast. And we know that that is... I don't want to be one of those silly women that's, just taken away with all of these winds and laden with things. And that's what the Bible calls it. So sisters, there you go. You can also be known as the bride or a silly woman. So there it is. So praise God. We need to trust the Lord. I better stop. I'm going to get in trouble. But I pray we're taking note. The world right now is at a time that we're ripe for this. And I'm not preaching to change the world. That's not going to change. But there's lives, by the grace of God, that receiving the gospel of Christ, and praise the Lord, even the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to be ready for the trump. And thanking God that it's about to sound, and to be looking up. And the only way we're going to be looking up is to be looking in and loving Paul's gospel and embracing that. That's how our gaze is lifted up. It's not going to be an encouragement just for me. Okay, we've got to do this and this feels good. It truly comes with studying to show thyself approved. And really, that's why we're here tonight. And when it talks about that approval, it's just that there's a devotion. It's a love devotion, that we're in love with him because we take it that he's in love with us. And thank the Lord, that's what that is. I've given that kind of silly example. I didn't just, say I do at the altar and then, never called my wife again. You think, well, that's crazy. Well, it's kind of crazy even more so if you think about it, that after hearing and receiving Paul's gospel, to turn away from the bride of Christ. And it truly is. So I'm thankful that we know that, and we can encourage one another. But again, it's all by the grace of God. We know that this isn't an effort of ourselves. We know it is the grace of God. So this world that's ripe, and just to talk about this again before we get into Revelation 14, this Antichrist is going to be everybody's man. He's everybody's man. And he's going to swoop in, remember this, with lies, deceiving, ears to be tickled. And ears that are ready to be tickled are going to give over to that lie and actually be given over to that lie, because that ear would not accept the truth. And even us as Christians, when we do not want to hear the truth, we'll give ourselves over to hearing a lie. Now, a life, God forbid, our life would end up a life that would be of wood, hay, and stubble that would burn. But we know that that life will never burn. That life is forever the Lord's. But what a shame it is, with so much potential, and potential that even comes short of potential. The word potential for a child of God. When we're talking about endued with, and it's not just your birthright, but we're talking about the heavenly DNA. You're talking about the very DNA of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything's there. His very life. Amen? For to grow up into him in all things. And thanking God that every child of God, he's not a respecter of person. But once that moment of receiving Christ as Savior, that life that came to live in us is a life that is all potential to grow up to a Lord of all. There's but one Lord and one God. We understand that. But my point is as the Word of God tells us, that life, that royal life in us, would grow into a fullness to rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord. But let's go on to chapter 14 tonight. And we begin so sweetly, and I'm thankful we get a change of view here. We're turning from the vile activities of the world and the Antichrist and the false prophet, and how horrible that is, that we get a moment of a glorious vision. The final, I should say, another company in heaven, a company of saints that arrive into heaven, and it is the final company of the church that is raptured. And tonight we're going to rejoice once again of the 144,000. And this time they're present with the Lord, praise be to God. 12,000 out of every tribe, and they are now present with the Lord. Let's go ahead and read the first five verses of chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. That means that this basically gives light to seducing messages, seducing spirits, all of the religious heresy and apostasy that was going on at this day. They did not allow their ear to hear it, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And once again, just so much in here, and we'll do an overview tonight. But praise the Lord. What a precious vision we have here. This, again, company of 144,000 begins to be dealt with, remember, at the beginning of the tribulation. When the bride is taken, this 144,000 is spared. These are the Jews that will be quickened at that time to turn to Jesus as Savior. And what a magnificent testimony. What a rejoicing this will be. And this precious company will be the final piece of the raptured companies that will make up the church. And what a precious vision we have here. But starting out, we see, praise God, and with any redemption, with any rapture, it's always going to be the Lamb. Isn't that precious? It's always the Lamb, the beautiful Lamb. And that Lamb redeemed them, and that Lamb redeemed us. And that Lamb stood on the Mount Zion. Now, this Mount Zion here is heavenly Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, if you will, the bride adorned. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute, so don't get ahead of ourselves here. But truly, the bride adorned is Mount Zion, which is spelled with an S. The heavenly Jerusalem that you'll, the earthly Jerusalem that you'll find in the Old Testament is Zion, spelled with a Z. So this Zion that we read of here in the New Testament is with an S, and this Zion is the heavenly Jerusalem. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 22, and this really describes this, even gives a vision of this heavenly Jerusalem, and gives a vision of the saints that will make up that city. And this is such a sweet thing. I think of the continuing city that Abraham looked for. And praise God, all of this is coming to pass, and these things are being given here. Now, let's read from 12:22. Is that 12? No, excuse me, 12:22. I have that backwards, don't I? 12:22. Yeah, Hebrews 22. If you find that, you let me know. All right. We got help for you in the back with me. All right, here we go. So, but 12:22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You hear that again? But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, now, and to an innumerable company of angels. So this gives us quite a vision here, speaking of it here in Hebrews, of this precious heavenly Jerusalem. And this heavenly Jerusalem, or again, this new Jerusalem, is the bride adorned of Revelation chapter 21. And you can begin to start turning over there. Matter of fact, start in Revelation 19 first. But this is that wonderful heavenly city, that New Jerusalem that John sees descending from heaven, having the glory of God, that we know as the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ. But know this, the 144,000 and the innumerable multitude will make up the city, but they are not the bride. They're not the bride. Again, let's continue to read. Go on over with me as we'll read right now. She is arrayed with the righteousness of saints. Her gown is the adorning of these saints. Let's go ahead and read from chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. That's Revelation 19, 7 and 8. It says there, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." So this is encouraging here. You talk about this oneness and this glory and again this... you know, you would think about now why would she be clothed with such glory of other saints and the righteousness of saints and this encouragement? Because she shares jointly together with him and is glorified together with him. What don't we get about this? Amen? Amen. He's going to share it. It's not, well, something's mine and this is yours. Everything of mine is yours. I'm going to encourage you again. You better get comfortable with this or you will never take it. You either believe it. You know, and it's just like anything in the Word of God. It's just, even when you start in the Word of God, you mean all I have to do to be saved is truly to accept that Christ Jesus, when he died on that cross, that blood was shed to cleanse my sin. You know, there's people that wrestle with that too. Amen. Matter of fact, the majority of people do. Right? But then you accept that. And then you come to all of these different encouragements of the truth, because the Lord, you're his child. And he's not going to withhold anything back from you. You're without excuse. He wants you to have it. So here you go as you grow on. It's called truth. Will you receive truth? Will you continue to take that cup of salvation and drink? Or was it just a sippy cup and that was it? You know? It's full and overflowing. It's endless. So then again, it's just like the Holy Ghost. Ones can come to the Holy Ghost and say, well, I don't want any part of that. I don't need that. My church has told me I don't need that. Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And what is the infilling of the Spirit? And what is the evidence of the Holy Spirit? And why was the Holy Spirit even given? Amen. So you come to that point. And then praise God. Then you come to the point of that precious brother on the road to Damascus when he was revealed these things, oh my goodness, and all of that ministering that he received. And you come to that, Jesus Christ is going to have a bride and he wants it to be me? Yes. It's all over the Word of God, is it not? Yes. We know that because of the Spirit enlightening the eyes of our understanding. But brothers and sisters, don't just let it be a story. Don't let it be something that you just know, can recite and find. This has to be something that is embraced and taken. I have kept it, amen, like a keepsake, praise God. It's mine, hallelujah. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. And when he said there in Romans 8, if you suffer with me, if you'll suffer together with me, you'll be glorified together with me. When he was talking about a joint heir as husband and wife in Ephesians 3, he meant it. Meant it. Absolutely meant it. Why in Esther is it so specific even? Because it would have been good enough how most people quote that. When the king saw Esther, and most people will say, well, even half of the kingdom. If you really look that up, it ain't half the kingdom. What he says there to Esther, what's mine is yours. It's the truth. There was no prenup there. It's ours. Amen? All right, amen. Praise God. So, that's precious to understand and receive. So, we see this in 19:7 and 8, that she is adorned in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, let's go on over to chapter 21. Just turn the page. And let's go ahead and read from verse 9. And this will all come together. Remember, 144,000, right? 144,000. So think of that number. And this is such a beautiful passage that we have here. 21 verse 9. And there came unto me, this is John, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. We're going to get into that Sunday. Sincerely, sincere, clear to the light. Praise God. It's so wonderful how this is all. You're here, you're there, you're everywhere in the Word of God as you read it, praise the Lord, because he's omnipresent, praise God. Now, here we go. Really pay attention here. So we have this wonderful city descending, and the pinnacle of it, the light, the beauty is the glory of God which she has. Remember, it's still him. It's always him. But she's got it. She's lit up with him. Amen? All right. And had a wall, great and high, had 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Oh, we're getting back into the 12 tribes here. All right. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now here we go. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. My goodness, where'd they get that number? According to the measure of a man. This is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with the manner of precious stones. And can you imagine? These are the same stones that were on that precious breastplate of Israel. So here you have it. Here you have these saints. Praise God. Here is this heavenly Jerusalem. The walls of the city, the beauty, the wonderful jewels that you will read of here. And as it says, and the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, oh my goodness, chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophoras, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. How beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful is the church. Amen. And this is a vision that we're receiving here, of all of these things coming together. This 144,000, the innumerable multitude, are going to be of this foundation of the bride, which is the pinnacle of the city that it sits upon. Now, let's go on back to chapter 14. We'll continue on. In verse 1, notice here, the Father's name is written on them. Remember, these, the 144,000 is the 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes. This having the Father's name written on them emphasizes their relation to Israel, the Father's name. So we see that they're Israeli or a Jew. Whereas the bride, you remember the four living ones that we read about of the Philadelphia church? They have the new name. they were given that new name. I should say that was back in chapter 3 when it was describing the Philadelphia church. And that new name will be, I've heard it said bridegroom. I also have heard it said, which I love, on her, it's going to be the Lamb's wife. I'm his. I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. However you're going to define it, that's exactly what's written on her. That is his possession, praise the Lord. The vessel for the master's use only, praise God. So, you think there in verse 3 of chapter 14, it said that they sing their own new song. Only they sing it. And notice where they're singing it. They sing it before the throne, don't they? And they're standing before the throne. I guess I just want to emphasize, there's some that will try to confuse, which is very sad because I don't even know how you get there, but you getting confused, thinking that the 144,000 is the bride of Christ in some way, shape, or form. No. First and foremost, we see that they're raptured over 3 years later than the innumerable multitude. I mean, than the bride of Christ is taken into heaven, and then the innumerable multitude is even raptured up before the 144,000 are there. And then you see these different things. They have the Father's name written on them, whereas the bride has the new name as far as the bridal name upon them. You see that they, again, are standing before the throne. Where was the bride? She's seated in the midst of the throne. Praise the Lord. What are they singing? They're singing, if you remember back, they're singing, and as it says here, they were redeemed from the earth. That's a big difference. They were raptured up from the earth, in a sense. Where does the Lord meet the bride? In the air. It's a difference. There's these great differences that are here. It says that these are servants. It never says anything about the bride, those four living ones being servants. They're the worshipers. They're the true worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. And these are the ones, those four living ones, are obviously, as we've seen over and over, they're the ones that rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. These angels that we're going to read of here again, these seven angels, that's another description of the bride of Christ that is revealing all of these things to John and throughout bringing out all of these events of Revelation and this precious time of the tribulation and the great tribulation jointly together with him. Then you see that it says that these 144,000, they follow the Lamb. The four living ones in Revelation, it doesn't ever say that they follow him. They operate side by side with him. They're jointly in operation with him. Praise God. Aren't we thankful? Like you say, I believe this. I believe it. And I'm not saying, well, I have to try to believe it or anything. No, the Spirit, by the grace of God, he said it. It's revealed to me. I believe this. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for this to be. And I thank God that I know this is coming by the grace of God for my life. So when I'm there, now I'm going to be surprised, but I'm going to know. And it's going to be exciting. And some would say, well, how do you know exactly what to do? Well, be like him, dummy. I'll have a body like unto his own. I'll have a mind like unto his own. I'll be moving in such perfect harmony with him. There won't be any flesh to get in the way. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Lord, that it'll just be him. And what a rejoicing this will be. So we're grateful to God to know that the wife jointly rules and reigns with him. And we're thankful for this. And we're grateful that we know this place that he's called us to. But then finally, remember this as well too, the 144,000 are from each of the 12 tribes. So they're Jews. Whereas the four living ones, the bride of Christ, is out of what? Every kindred, tongue, and nation. So we see all of these different contrasts here, that there's great differences. But thank you, Jesus, for the unity and the beauty of the harmony of the body of Christ, all from the head, and how beautiful this is going to be. Isn't she going to be stunning? I mean, I love how God, again, in Revelation 21, it just brings it all together, and there they all are, and it's glorious, and he's all together lovely. Well, that's us too. Isn't that beautiful? We're there. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be long, so praise his name. So, once again, We got to move along. This is the last of the three companies that are raptured into heaven. This is the last of the three, and that completes the church. And again, I want to emphasize this final company, this 144,000, 3+ years after the bride is taken, they are raptured into heaven. So, and then finally, another sweet testimony of this, if you look at verse 4, it says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins." I love this as well, too, and I think it's so important to us. See, they are virgins. And if you go back to Revelation 7:4, it said that they were sealed. They're spirit-filled. These 144,000 are spirit-filled virgins. They are the virgins that are spoken of in Matthew 25. Remember the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins? What was the difference? Why were five of them wise and five of them the foolish ones? Well, the five wise ones had oil in their lamps. They all had lamps, but the five wise had the oil. They had the infilling of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. They had that perfect vision for their calling at their time, for their day. This 144,000 has a perfect vision for this day and their calling. It's so wonderful. And so, this 144,000 is going to be the ones that will go to the wedding feast. They'll be the ones that will go to the wedding feast. Whereas the five foolish virgins, remember, they were shut out from it. They did not go to the wedding feast, all right? So where did they go? Well, these are the ones that accept Jesus Christ as Savior after the innumerable multitude, but yet are not part of that company of the 144,000. And that is that part of, again, Christians that will be on the earth after the 144,000 is taken, that we see that went out into the wilderness. Remember how they're hidden out there and they're taken out there and some of them are killed. Those are the martyrs that are under the altar. And some of them will also live through the entire tribulation. So it's so beautiful how perfect the Word of God is. And see, this rapture, again, it happens right in the middle of the week of these 144,000. And then from here on out, as we get into the rest of this study of Revelation, it's all going to be about the Great Tribulation time. We're going to go all the way through the Great Tribulation. It's going to really focus on that a little bit about the millennium. But that's about it in the latter half of the week. Now, let's go back and look at verse 6. And in verse 6, what happens here of chapter 14, we have a vision. We turn back to the earth. We're going to look into the Great Tribulation time. And as we begin this, which is so sweet, we're going to read of and see the encouragement of God's faithfulness to those who receive the preaching of the two witnesses and the ones that will make up those five foolish virgins, those saints that will be the five foolish virgins, the saints that will make up the church of Laodicea. Okay, let's go back and read chapter 2 of Revelation. I've read this many times, but you know what? It's good to go over these things because how quickly we forget. But if you go to chapter 2, verse 26 and 27, this is the church. I apologize. This is the church of Thyatira, not Laodicea. This is Thyatira. And so the church of Thyatira, it says in verse 26 and 27, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." This again is the fourth rank. This is Thyatira, or the five foolish virgins. "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." So again, "He that overcometh keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." What this is speaking of is when those ones, five foolish virgins, these ones that will be upon the earth at that time after the 144,000 goes, and many of these ones that will receive Christ after that time, they'll die. They'll be killed. Those will be the saints under the altar that we saw in chapter 6. There will be some of those saints that will live all the way through the tribulation time and then go into the millennium. These will be the ones, praise the Lord, as it encourages here, that as he says so sweetly and magnificently of this company in chapter 2, that "I will give you power over the nations." They'll be ministering saints at that time. They'll be encouraging ones in the Word of God at this time and through the millennium. It's going to be a beautiful company of saints that will go on into that time. So these are the ones, again, that believe after the innumerable multitude and refuse the mark of the beast. We've read about them many times. Many of these survivors that live on through the tribulation will go into that millennial time. And it is wonderful that we will see that. Let's go ahead and read verse 6 there of chapter 14, and this will give you a little bit more encouragement here of why the angel comes to them to minister them. And it says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." So isn't that wonderful? See how faithful our God is? You know, we've had all of these saints raptured. We've had all of these ones taken into heaven. And yet that ministering still goes out. The wonderful, wonderful gospel of Christ. And notice again, it's here to the group of believers that are left. It's there. Many of these will be Jews that will go on in. We understand that. But it's being preached to everywhere because the gospel is for whosoever believeth. Isn't that always sweet and always precious? It's always to whosoever believeth. Now this verse 6 that we're reading here is Matthew 24:31. Lots going on here, and I appreciate you getting back on the internet and listening to this at least 6 times, maybe 7, and then begin to hunker down in it. So, but in Matthew 24, this is that verse 6 to where this encouragement is to these precious saints that are still on earth, that are going into this great tribulation time. So in Matthew 24, let's go ahead and read from verse 29. And again, this angel that's announcing this is a bridal saint that's announcing this event to these ones. We're going to see all of these 7 angels that represent the bride of Christ bringing in events as we go all the way through this chapter 14 of Revelation. But reading from verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now, do you recall the four winds? Remember when we talked about the four winds and the four angels were holding back those four winds that were unleashed there to come upon? Matter of fact, we're getting back into that time because Revelation keeps going backwards and forwards and showing us different events. But these four winds are those forces of the earth that will gather and continue on and go down in there into Armageddon. And that's when you get that horrible slaughter of Armageddon, where you get the 200 million that will be killed and all of those things that will transpire during that great tribulation time. But notice here, "They shall gather together his elect from the four winds." There's going to be those that the Lord, again, is protecting even at that time. Because even though it says that the Antichrist will at a time overcome them, there will be ones that will still live through. But and the Lord, even the ones that will die, you know he's faithful to us in death. There's going to be all of this encouragement that will happen. But this is this precious time, brothers and sisters, that we're reading here of in chapter 7, when this great tribulation time will be unleashed. But I love to magnify here, before we get into it, the faithfulness of God ministering always to his people. And remember that even for our lives right now. It's always the Word of God. The only thing that's going to comfort you is the Word of God. The only thing that's going to comfort anybody is the Word of God. And how wonderful here. There will never be a time. Remember we read this last week? There will never be a time so horrible upon the earth as this time. And yet there's going to be saints that are going to be encouraged and even giving glory to God during this time. Because what? The gospel of Christ that will be ministering to them. And it won't be a time of the bride of Christ anymore. But let me tell you something. They're going to rejoice for any bit of the gospel of Christ because it's so incredible. And they'll be thankful for their part. They're not going to be in anguish thinking, oh, I missed this. No, let me tell you something. You just get the word of God and be thankful. Hallelujah. And they'll be thanking God. So, this is a wonderful time and what a call it is. So going back to chapter 14, let's go ahead and read from verse 7. The angel said with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the foundations of waters. See, worship him that made heaven and earth. Isn't that so sweet? Just worship him. John makes clear of this in John 1. That it's all by Jesus. Jesus, by him, all things are made. But the hour of judgment has come. The wrath of God is now going to be fully poured forth and poured out. And what begins here is verse 8. And in verse 8, this second angel comes forward. And the bride is going to, again, completely call this out. So here comes the second angel. The bridal company continued to bring forth this judgment upon the earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, this Babylon and all of these things are going to be told in great detail, if the Lord tarry, when we get to Revelation 17 and 18. But I want you to notice something. There's something new that's been introduced to us. And this is this she. Did you read that there? Another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This she that now we get introduced to here is the harlot. This she will also be called the great whore. This she is the deceiver. The enticer, the one that will fool all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And we get who this is. This is Babylon. Now, all the enemy wants us to do is to drink of him, to be intoxicated with him, instead of being, praise God, drinking upon the joy of the wine of the Spirit. Amen. See, we're fighting this now. This is a fight we have now. See, the only thing, the drink of the devil, the only thing he can offer us is wrath. That's all you'll ever drink when you drink of the enemy. Oh, it looks so good. Maybe the first it tastes, no, it's going to be death. It's going to be wrath. And God, wake us up now in this. But this she is Babylon. And as we close tonight, I just want to get a few verses of this to give us an insight as we go on into this. In chapter 17, verses 4 through 7. Now this is getting to be exciting stuff, because now we're beginning to be revealed. This is a system. This Babylon, I know we think of a city and we think of all these things, but this is a system, brothers and sisters, that's being even woven into the fabric of our world right now. And it's a subtle thing. It's a subtle thing, and the enemy is bringing in. You can see it. People are just incensed. They don't even know why they're angry anymore. They're just angry for everything. War is in the heart of man, and war is in the heart of woman. And I'm going to tell you, it's there, and you can see it, and it's coming forth, and it's exciting. It's sad to see, but yet I'm thankful to see it. That means my Lord's coming. So this is a good thing if you're in tune with the things of God. But in Revelation 17, let's read from verse 4. And the woman, there's the she, was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Now, brothers and sisters, we see that in a great religious symbol right now. We do. We can see this type, this shadow. But we see it in a lot of different religions as well, too. But one so spectacular. But let me tell you something. This is going to be a system that tricks them all. They're all coming into this thing. So, trying to pin it down here, there, or whatever. Let me tell you something. It's all coming into this. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, Mother of Harlots. So see, they're harlots, but she's the mother of it all, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Think about our history in this world of the great religions of the world that have killed Christians. Now, I know that there has been an under the name of Christian that ones have went out. They said, well, in the name of Christianity, people were killed. It wasn't how Christ is preached. Ones following Christ never went out there and killed people. Didn't do that. And then it was never done in the name of that, and I don't even like to call it a religion, in those true believers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They didn't go out and do that. That's a whole different system that did that. And don't ever be fooled by that. That's the world speak. And that's a religion that did that. That wasn't God's word in his people that did that. No. Now, getting back to, even in the name of religion today, Christians are being slaughtered. Their blood is being, in a sense, drunk. And they are martyrs, and we're seeing it. We see them on TV. We see them with their heads getting cut off, singing praise God hymns, thanking the Lord that they're going to see him, not denying the name of Jesus. See, they're showing there's a type and a shadow of that now, of those ones someday that are not going to receive the mark of the beast. See, isn't Jesus so sweet to us that even in this day, in this age, see, we don't have any connection with that in a sense, because here we are in the comfortable United States of America. But yet, a plane ride for 14 hours, you could be right in the heart of that stuff. Get in spirit there now to understand what this is about. But see, this woman is drunken with the blood of the saints, and that's been going on for a long time. There's certain, well, like I say, all of the great religions of the world have killed and drunk the blood of the saints. See, it's already done. All of the great religions. Don't think it's just been a few. All of them. All right? Because none of them have peace. All of that is war. All of that is war. The only one that is peace is Jesus Christ. And only through grace do you have peace. And he's the only one that's full of grace and truth. Praise God. And the angel said to me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. So apostasy is what drives this beast. Remember, we talked about the 7 heads and the 10 horns. These are obviously all of those countries, the bear out of the north, the armies out of the east, all of that. And then you've got the 10 horns with the those are the kings without kingdoms. So now you could have even these extremists, these whatever extremist groups there are, and there's many of them. I know Brother Hawkins has written about that recently, and some of the things that have been encouraged in his heart to write about. It's been very exciting to see. We don't know specifically, is it that? But it could be. It's exciting to start to see all of these types and shadows, and whether one of those types and shadows is really it, it doesn't really matter. It's coming. And this is what's so beautiful about this. But what's driving all of that is she, this great whore. Again, the instrument of this system that you have the Antichrist, but remember, you had the false prophet. And that false prophet is this one that deceives with miracles, with tongue, all of the things that the Antichrist could do, he could do, but even more so because there were greater miracles that were allowed to be given him from the devil. And this tricks and casts all of this into this oneness of hate and apostasy. And this deceitful system will plague the earth. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, it's already begun. And it's spreading. Now let's close this with chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. She has infected them all. All of those spirits, the cages, the birds, and all of that, that speaks of this gathering of every religious type, every spirit of Antichrist. This has completely come to this oneness. You think about how these religions of the world seemingly move separately now. At this time, they're going to move as one. And this is a oneness. And think of this. All of the fowl, all of the unclean, hateful birds. And then it says, and all nations. All nations. Praise the Lord. It's coming. Something, again, that is so revealing here is this apostasy completely deceives every religion of the world, every nation of the world, and praise the Lord. God shows that against my word, you'll never stand. He's going to destroy them all with the sword of the Spirit. It's so wonderful. And just thanking God. It's just so exciting. You think about the captain and champion of our salvation. Praise the Lord. Now we'll go into greater detail in 17 and 18. But I just wanted to end tonight with, and we'll stop here. This is the full power of the devil's deceit. And this harlot, again, is this system along with the Antichrist and the false prophet that deceives the whole world. By the grace of God, let's not be deceived. Amen. Because it's all lies. Here's the only truth there is. This is it. This is it. People are deceived daily. People are being greatly deceived right now. And it's not which political party you belong to. But they're being deceived with causes. They're being divided because of our outward appearance. That's what the devil does. This is the only oneness you'll ever have. This is the only oneness you'll ever have in your home. Let's even get it that personal. But the only oneness man will ever have is the unity of the Spirit of Christ. And by His grace, fight for this. As winds of doctrine and anything in this life come and continue to possibly attack your head, which God will allow, because He's going to show Himself faithful. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Not what the feelings of my body says to my mind. Fight the good fight of faith. And what is faith? Faith is hearing the word of God. How does your life operate? How does it work? It lives only by the word of God. That's it. That is our life as a Christian. That's truth. There isn't anything else. Anything else that tries to operate our life, sway upon our life, tell us that this is a better way, that this is the way that I should take. Well, I've got to do this now because, you know, this is going to save the world, or, you know, save this part of me, or my family will be impressed, or, you know, where I was from, my nation, my kindred, whatever it is. That's not who you are in Christ. And that will deceive you, and it will rob you. And there will be great leanness to your soul. To any of us, brothers and sisters. So, by the grace of God, I hope that encourages you. A lot of stuff there. Amazing in just 8 little verses. And honestly, if you go back and read, that's so much to cover in that. But yet, I do encourage you, go back and read through it. Meditate on it. Chew it. It'll be good, because the Lord will continue to line upon line as we go further in the Revelation study. And it'll be sweet. And the whole thing I'm praying for As he could even come now, that'd be fine. But at least by the end of our Revelation study. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise his name.